Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 23? Luke chapter 23 and verse 31. The scripture says, "For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" This was spoken by Jesus. For if they do these things, he's on his way to the cross to be crucified, and he says, "For if they do these things in a green tree, a living tree, what shall be done in the dry?" Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today. May we grow in our appreciation of you and the cross, and may we worship you today as we think about the reason that you were born. You were born to die, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled the message this morning, "O Christmas Tree." At this time of year, homes all across America, you will find people putting up a Christmas tree, and most of our trees have presents underneath them. The Christmas tree is one of the symbols of Christmas that stands out the most. But God has his own Christmas tree. It's a living tree. It's not artificial. It's a real tree. Jesus said, "For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" The Lord was speaking of himself here as a green tree because of his living power and his ability to give life. Can we legitimately call the cross of Christ a tree? Can we think of the tree as that which reminds us of God's Son and that his Son gives us life? Yes, in fact, God's word actually refers to both Jesus Christ, his person, and his death on the cross, his work. It refers to it as either the word tree or in terms associated with the word tree. So concerning the cross, there are two Greek words that were used in the New Testament. One was staros, and it was an upright pale or stake which took various forms at different times. It was the word that was used of the Roman instrument of crucifixion. It was a sign or a symbol of the death of Christ on the cross. Compare this well-known statement. How many of you ever heard this statement? "The pen is mightier than the sword." Ever heard that? The pen, which is a symbol of literary power, is mightier than the sword, which is a symbol of military power. So the cross is a symbol which stands for something. It stands for the substitutionary death of the Savior, wherein he died in our place to give us life, and life more abundantly. Staros, however, that Greek word never means tree, but there is another word that does, and the word is zoulon. It's used, interestingly enough, of both a tree and a cross. So the point this morning is that one of the New Testament words for the cross also means tree or piece of wood and really anything that is made out of wood. It was used of wooden clubs, and it's used of the cross. But interestingly enough, it was also used of a tree. So on the way to the cross, hearing the women lamenting over what is happening to him, Jesus said our text, "For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" So again, the Lord is speaking to himself, of himself as a green tree because of his living power and ability to give life. This morning I just have three what I hope to be interesting facts about this tree. Number one, the greatest gift is on the tree. The greatest gift is on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Please understand today that the greatest gift is not found under a tree. The greatest gift is found on a tree. The greatest gift is Jesus Christ as he hangs on the tree, as he hangs on the cross, bearing your sins and mine. That is the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus on the cross for our salvation. Now, how do you like your gifts to be wrapped? Do you like them in shiny paper and tied with beautiful ribbons and bows? What if you ever got a gift that was wrapped in rags? Is the gift with the best wrapping paper, the best looking paper, is that the best gift? Or is it the gift that carries the most love with it, the best gift? Let me tell you today that the best gift you ever got was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You would have expected Jesus to be wrapped in purple, a purple robe with silk and satin and fine linen. But he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was wrapped in grave's clothes, signifying to us that he was born to die. The greatest gift is the gift that carries the most love with it. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Love is what the Father gave that first Christmas. It was the greatest gift ever given to the world. It is the greatest gift ever received by man. The Apostle Paul, in trying to describe Jesus, described him as an indescribable gift. He said, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And so the greatest gift of all is the gift that is on the tree. Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And number two, lovely branches are in the tree. Lovely branches are in the tree. The greatest gift is on the tree, but lovely branches are in the tree. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious." Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." In the Old Testament, the Messiah is viewed prophetically in terms that relate to a tree. He is portrayed as a branch or a shoot which would grow up from the house of Jesse. He is seen as the branch of the Lord to give righteousness and life to the nation of Israel. In the Christmas hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, the reference to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1 is made in the third stanza of that verse. It says, "O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave." You know, that prophecy was fulfilled with the birth of Christ, who came from the kingly line of David, the son of Jesse. So from these ideas this morning, we see that God has his own Christmas tree in the person of his son and his son's work or death upon the tree, the cross. But I want you to know that God's tree is not decorated with lights and ornaments or tinsel, nor is it surrounded underneath with gifts or presents filled with perishable items purchased from our vain manner of life, but rather, number three, imperishable gifts are under the tree. Imperishable gifts are under the tree. The greatest gift is on the tree. Lovely branches are in the tree. And imperishable gifts are under the tree. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." When Jesus ascended, he gave us a bunch of presents. He left a bunch of gifts for us. He gave gifts unto men. 1 Corinthians 15, 27 says, "For he hath put all things under his feet." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 and 18 and 19, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, the gift is an inheritance that is untouched by death, unstained by evil, and unimpaired by time. That is the gifts that lie under the tree for you. They are untouched by death, unstained by evil, and unimpaired by time. under God's Christmas tree are imperishable items of infinite value, which were purchased by the death of God's Son on the tree, on the cross. But what are some of those gifts this morning? What are some of those imperishable gifts that Jesus gave to us that lie beneath the tree? Well, the first gift is Jesus himself. Jesus himself. In John chapter 4 and verse 10, when the Samaritan woman had her encounter with Jesus, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Jesus himself is a gift from God. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 makes this very clear. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Christ himself is a gift. Jesus himself is a gift. Just think about that. He's always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. What a precious gift he is. What does Jesus mean to you this morning? I hope he means all the world to you. He's wonderful. He's your counselor. He's the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He saves. He keeps. He is light. He is love. He is the living Word. You know, you could spend all time today trying to describe him, and you could never adequately describe what an incredible gift Jesus Christ he is. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is immutable. Jesus is all of these things and more to us. What a great gift he is. Jesus himself is a gift. He is an imperishable gift for man. Another gift that Jesus left for us, an imperishable gift, is the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Now, here's a gift that you have to ask for, but if you've never asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to ask for that gift. Ask for Jesus to give you the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a good gift. You know, if we know how to give good gifts this Christmas season, hopefully that's what we're doing. If we know how to give good gifts, just think how much more the Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts. And one of the good gifts he explicitly says is, "I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It's yours for the asking, the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's yours for the asking. He wants you to experience the fullness of his Spirit. What a great time, the Christmas season, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's a great gift because he teaches, he guides, he comforts, he seals, he baptizes, he gives you boldness, he empowers you, he enhances our witness, he convicts, he draws people to Christ, he exalts Christ, he bears witness of the truth, he gives us life. Sandy Patty used to sing a song, she probably still does, "The Father gave the Son gave the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us life." The Holy Spirit is an imperishable gift under God's Christmas tree. Another imperishable gift that Christ left for us is righteousness. Righteousness. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life." There is an aspect of righteousness that is not earned or deserved. It's a gift. The righteousness of Christ is applied to us. His righteousness is applied to us, given to us. It's called positional righteousness. We are righteous because God said we are righteous. And when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And so he says, "George Lewis, you are righteous. I'm giving you the gift of righteousness. You are righteous." That's not that George earned that righteousness or he deserved it, but positionally, He is in Christ, and so he is declared to be by God to be righteous. Every single one of us, if you've been saved today, not only do you have Jesus in your heart, but Jesus said that you are in him.
Hallelujah.
And his righteousness is in you, and you are made righteous because you are in Christ. The gift of righteousness. It's an imperishable gift. And then number four, the gift of eternal life. Eternal life is an imperishable gift under God's Christmas tree. You all know Romans 6:23. Let's say it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's the gift? Eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. You cannot earn eternal life. No amount of good works will be rewarded with eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Eternal life is an imperishable gift that we find under God's Christmas tree. And then there's a whole slew of gifts that we're just going to put under the category spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are imperishable gifts that are also found under God's Christmas tree. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It is impossible here this morning to expound on every spiritual gift mentioned in the Bible. And so I'm going to list a few of them for you and maybe make it just a word or two comment on some of them. This would be a great study for anybody, or maybe a good series sometime for Christmas. Look at all the gifts that come under the category of spiritual gifts. You'd be amazed at how many gifts Christ left for us. There's the apostle, who is those that are sent out, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the gift of prophecy, ministry or serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling or organizing, mercy, word of wisdom, which is a supernatural wisdom for a specific situation. Word of knowledge. This is knowledge that you would not know unless it was supernaturally, divinely imparted to you. Faith, healing, miracles, discernment, which is the ability to recognize spirits, to tell whether they are divine, human, or evil. Tongues, the gift to be able to speak by the Spirit, a language that one has not learned. Interpretation of tongues. Governments, to operate in the gift of administration. Is governments. And helps, the gift of helps, to be able to help others in practical ways. These are just some of the gifts that are listed in the Bible. There are others as well, but these are gifts that are specifically mentioned as what God gives as gifts. Things that God gave. And so, in conclusion this morning, we see that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift on the tree. He's the greatest gift on the tree. He's the greatest gift in the tree, and he's the greatest gift under the tree. Our hearts rejoice with God's people of all ages when we realize that Christ the Messiah did come 2,000 years ago, and he accomplished what he set out to do. He accomplished a perfect redemption for Adam's hopeless race. And yet we wait with the same expectancy as the Israelites of old. We wait for the piercing of the clouds. We wait for his second advent, when victory over sin and death will be final. The words of John are my words today. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I believe that everyone here has already invited Christ into their lives, into their hearts. I'd just like you to take a couple of moments there and thank him for being that gift to you. Thank him for being the greatest gift on the tree. Thank him today for taking your sins with him and dying on the cross for those sins. He is the greatest gift in the tree. He comes to give righteousness. He saved you from Satan's tyranny. He saved you from the depths of hell. He gives you victory over the grave. Man shall live forevermore because of Christmas Day. And he is the greatest gift under the tree. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, Christmas can be one of the loneliest times of the year, but Jesus is there. He'll never leave. He'll never forsake you. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for being the gift of God to us. We thank you for the tree today, the cross, and that all it represents. We thank you, Lord, for this symbol of Christmas. We thank you, Jesus, that you are a living tree and that you came and you have the power and the ability to give life, and you've given it to us. We rejoice in that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the men to come. We're going to have a communion service here this morning. Again, we would encourage everybody to partake. You don't have to be a member of this church to have communion. The only thing that we ask is that you're a member of Christ's body. You've asked him to be your Savior, and then we would invite you to have communion with us. And while the men pass out the communion today, I'd like us to sing page 457, The Old Rugged Cross. We're just going to have a word of prayer real quickly, and then we will begin to pass out. Pastor Craig, would you ask the blessing on the communion service?
God, we thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ, the gift, God, that we know brings salvation to all that believe in him. Lord, we believe in him today, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, yes, for what you have done and willingly have done for us. Though we are unworthy and undeserving of your gift, you have given it to us anyways, and we thank you for that. We just remember that today as we partake of communion together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
On a hill far away,
I'm not afraid to die.
Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Brother George Lewis, would you ask the blessing upon the cracker which represents the body of the Lord?
Lord, we just thank you that you brought forth a new and living way. Lord, that you brought forth a new testament. That we don't have to bring animals to the altar, but there was a lamb that was slain once for mankind forever. And that you entered into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Thank you for your sacrifice, that you willingly gave your body. You willingly went to the cross. That you willingly gave your life for ours, a ransom. Thank you, Lord. Just cause it to be real in our hearts, in our lives. As we enter into this moment now, cause it to be real to us.
Let's partake of the cracker together. There are imperishable gifts under the tree. Whatever your need is this morning, I believe there's a gift to meet it. Jesus is the gift to meet it. He's all that we need.
Lord, we just give you thanks for shedding your blood on the cross. Lord, we know that you went to the cross for us. We also know today, Lord, that you live.
Yes.
You live within us, Lord. And we thank you for giving us your mercy and showing grace upon us, Lord Jesus. Your love is everlasting. We know that the gifts that you give us are everlasting as long as we put you first, Lord. We thank you so much for everything you've done in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Let's drink together.
Silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a
praise the Lord. Don Stauffer, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you today and thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. And that we have this privilege, Lord, as we celebrate your birth, yes. Lord, that we continue to remember the reason that you came for our salvation.
Yes.
Lord, just give us family mercies as we travel home. If we have to travel for relatives and that, Lord, just keep hand protection from all of us. We give you the praise, Lord.